This is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. A 6-point weekend, long time coming it feels like at this stage. Nevertheless, very, very important wins for both men's and women's side. We'll chat about those two games. We'll have a little academy update and the debut of mastermind. Aidan O'Geraghty is going to be the guinea pig, if you will, and step in to try and win that framed Shells jersey. Sorry, not framed. Let me correct that. A signed Shells jersey, because I don't want anyone coming back at me at any stage for that one. To do all that with me, Ben Cleary. Ben, what's the story? How are you?
Hello, Duty. How are we? I'm good.
Good, good. See what happens when I don't write down the intro?
Yeah, you mess it up, don't you?
Ah, made a hames of that one. But look, here we are. And
you can supply the frame now.
Yeah, watch me. Watch me. I'm sure somebody somewhere will donate a frame. But you'll get your jersey. That's what more do you want? A jersey signed by the current squad is going to lead us into Europe on the men's side for the first time since 2006. Great prize. All you have to do is come on and answer a couple of questions. Easy peasy. But we'll see how Edo gets on. That'll come a little bit later on. Ben, we'll start with Saturday for a change. On Wearing side, down to Wexford, who were the basement dwellers of the Women's Premier Division. Not pretty, but an important 1-0 win.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, look, you take 3 points wherever you can get them. I think it's not going to, like, Wexford is not an easy place to go. I think, look, they haven't had the season opener they've wanted. Like, they haven't started well. But that's what makes it that little bit harder. So, again, it just is a difficult game. I think you need to be ready for pretty much anything. And I think the Reds were. I think they managed the game really well. Of course, who gets the goal? Pearl has to be. Like, who else would it be when you need a goal? But, yeah, unbelievable. Great 3 points and hopefully more to come.
Just on Wexford, their league position is a little bit skewed, I think, to be fair. They were probably shocked in their opener. They're beaten at home by Bowes. Could probably be looked at as a bit of a shock. Then they drew at Rovers. They were beaten narrowly by Piemont. And then they came up against us. So, in terms of, like, a fixture list to start the season,
a heavy start.
Yeah, it was a bit of a stinker for Wexford. They made life difficult. Look, they were quite resolute, but I don't think we ever looked in real danger of not winning the game. Now, to score the goal when we did was massively important. It came after less than 20 minutes, so it leaves you in that position where, you know, you're not having to open up to break teams down or anything. You can be a bit more comfortable in possession. Last week, we spoke about Gemma Quinn. Spoke about banging in a hat-trick. Could you really leave her out? She wasn't left out. She started the game. How important is that for the group, the wider group, like in the dressing room, that you will get in on a performance? Because sometimes like that, players can be pigeonholed into, oh, you know, she's great for coming off the bench, or, you know, she's great to start the game, but she won't necessarily finish every game. It's probably a good message to send out to the wider dressing room that if you perform and you do something, whether it's a league game or not, you will get your spot in the team.
Yeah, I think it's great just even to have that competitive drive in the squad to say, look, every shirt is up for grabs if you want to put in the work and put in the performances. So, look, you score a hat-trick, you can't be left out of the side unless, obviously, injury or whatever. But I think it just shows that, like, if you want it, it's there. And that goes for anyone. That goes for young players coming up. If they're given the opportunity, if they take it and they do well, they can run with it. And it's shown in the last few years, definitely, there's a track record for that happening.
You mentioned at the top there, Captain Fantastic steps up when a narrow goal in the end, winning it by just the one, popping up when she needed to. It's a bullet header, but the delivery from Lucia Rourke, I mean, you probably are not going to get a better delivery of a corner all season than that one, eh?
It's just like floated in effortlessly. Like, it was just the perfect ball. What's that thing you like to say on a duty? Purchase?
Ah, purchase is a different thing. Now, see, Ben, you're trying to fucking annoy me now. For anyone that's listening, I basically get a lot of abuse for reusing the same words all the time. When I commentated on my first ever game, I said absolutely 11,000 times in 90 minutes. Purchase is one I tend to rely on an awful lot. I'm not one to bash referees is another one that I get a bit of stick over. So don't come at me with your purchase. You've used it in the wrong context. If anything, Pearl got great purchase on the header. There wasn't purchase on the cross. So you've missed a great opportunity there, Ben. Unlucky. Maybe we'll get Reggie on next week and he can have a better go than that. Well, how does that sound?
I'm being dropped that here. Look. Reggie might have earned a spot in the squad. We just said it.
Reggie tight lips. No, we can't have Reggie on the pod because he doesn't actually talk or say anything. So that
Jesus Christ, you are really burying everyone. You've got me, Reggie. We're just waiting for Darren and Alan Smith to be buried and we're done.
Oh, we'll get to Darren soon.
Oh dear.
Alan Smith will never be buried. That's nobody can bury Alan Smith, that's for sure. Back to the point. Back to the original point. It's an unbelievable ball into the box. It's a great header. So often you see those ones skied over the bar or missing them all together. They'll just skim off the top of the head. So great goal. So important. With the way the result went between Piemont and Galway as well. Leaves us only four. I think it's 4 points behind Galway who are top. I would expect Galway to probably fizzle off a little bit. So not a bad weekend's work. That goal, not just the goal, but her performances in the last couple of weeks has earned Perla's nomination for the Player of the Month. And she got into this week's Team of the Week, along with Lucy O'Rourke for that assist and for her general play. So, well done to the two girls on that. And they move on now to the old enemy, that old game. Bows at home on Saturday. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff. Of course, your season tickets are valid. Feels like a big, big game, doesn't it? Bowser probably had a better start than what people were expecting. I know the bar wasn't particularly high, but nevertheless, it will be a difficult game.
Yeah, look, it's a rivalry that I think stretches across the men and the women. Like it's not gonna be an easy game, especially with the start that Bowser have had. I think, like from what I've seen, they've looked really bright. They've got some really, really big results, I suppose, and it's going to be a tough one. I think it'll be a big test for the squad, and I think it's definitely going to be one that I'd be hoping for 3 points in.
An exciting game. They've generally been quite dramatic games between ourselves and Bowles. They're always extremely competitive, so do get yourself down to Talca. It's 2 o'clock kickoff. If you can't make it down to the ground, it's live, as always, on LOI TV, so do tune in if you can't be there. The girls topped off the perfect weekend, the six-point weekend. Damien Duff's side started that weekend off. Not a bad performance, Ben. Not bad reactions, considering, like, it's an old saying, but a week is an awful long time, in football especially, and knocking on from that Galway, that performance down in AMDC Park, it was a very, very solid performance on Friday.
Yeah, I think it was just exactly what you come to expect from this side, and they just showed their quality. You were on commentary, like I said it to the lads during the game, I just never felt nervous at any point. I think we just dictated tempo, controlled the game. I just think we are really, really good, and we played to all our strengths. I think everyone just did exactly what they needed to do. I think, as you said last week, you mentioned Cam again, just another unbelievable performance from Cam.
It was, and I was up in the gantry. Declan Drake was on comms Friday. I got roped in very late in the day to do it. I think the original commentator had to pull out. So for anyone who had to listen to the game instead of be at it, I had no chance to prepare anything, so I was a little bit quiet, but I'm sure you would have had it on mute after the first 5 minutes anyway, so there's no real issues there. It was, I think, from being on commentary, I was obviously up in the gantry, so I was watching the warm-ups from up there, and the defence will always get kind of pulled out, and they'll go through a little bit of, most teams do it, they'll get into their shape, like balls are thrown up in the air at them, roll to their feet and they have to kind of react off clearances and stuff. It was originally shaping up as a back three. It was Cam, Gav Malloy and Gano, and then I thought that's what we were going to go with. There was a bit of chatter last week about, you know, we were going to be missing Paddy Barrett. What way would we go about it? Like, would Cam just go straight in as a centre-back? Would we switch to the back three? What would we do? Because our team changes so much during the game, sometimes it's hard to kind of pick out what way we're playing at a given time. But like, Cam did kind of end up playing as a centre-half, certainly at the start of the game, and he was brilliant. Like, I've mentioned him a couple of times now. Social media on Friday night was a joy to behold with the golden and the just enjoying the win. But everyone seemed to pick out Cam as, you know, playing so well. He just looks so solid. He's so calm all the time. Never really looked like losing a header, giving anything away. And that's difficult. It's a difficult position to go into, especially when Paddy's been so good. Like, there's big boots to fill. But yeah, as you mentioned, Cam was brilliant. Tyreek, again, he's just so intelligent. He just picks up such good positions. He knows when he can go high, and kind of he became an extra midfielder at times. Like, I definitely did. I think you did as well. Name drop Tyreek at the start of the season. Yeah, that's been maybe one to look out for. And
I think in our predictions, I think I said maybe team of the year for a Tyreek.
Yeah, I definitely did, because I knew a few people would give me stick over it. But he's just been unbelievable, even defensively. And he had his work cut out for him, in fairness, because like, Jake Mulroney can be a difficult player to come up against. I mean, Tyreek was just outstanding. But I suppose there's two other players I want to mention specifically. First, and he is well and truly in the Luke Byrne category of captain now, because it feels like we can't interview him or do post-match with him or do anything, because we're always talking about how good he is. But Mark Coyle was just majestic in midfield, wasn't he?
He's just a complete monster. He just did everything right. Like, I think everyone saw when Mark Coyle first came to the club, the comparisons were there with other players. He was the fella that would bash into you. Then you get to Friday and he's doing outside of the boot passes. He's taking on the turn under pressure, just dribbling past two or three when he gets from a centre half. Where did they come from? I don't know. Long may it continue. Absolutely unbelievable. Talk about a standard setter. Like, he does it on the pitch with his leadership skills. He'll be vocal, he'll talk, but he's definitely a leader by example. It was just unbelievable. I think in terms of individual performances, I think it's probably his best in a red shirt, and I know that's saying a lot because he's had some unbelievable games this season.
Well, Ron, actually, friend of the pod, Barry from Reds Independent, got onto us on Instagram, and he name dropped Mark Coyle, said it was good in individual performances he can remember seeing. What other performances, like, you know, one man band type performances, can the lads think of? And who do you think was the best individual performance you've seen in a red shirt? I have one. It's the first thing that comes to my head. I was racking my brain trying to think of others, and I really can't. Now, I have a terrible memory, but there is one pops into my head. I'll let you go first. I'd be quite sure we're going to land on the same one, but Ben, give us your best individual performance you can remember.
I think I might have to let you go first. I think I need a second on this one.
I gave you a chance to get an answer together for this one, Ben, for a change.
I know, yeah, but I didn't. I wanted it to be more natural.
I think the standout one for me, and I think a lot of people would say this one, was Alan Byrne. And it was the 2018 in the playoff against Drogheda. He was just sensational. Nominated for the Ballon d'Or for it, of course, famously. But yeah, my one is Alan Byrne. Has to be. He covered every single blade of grass in Tolkien that night. He was amazing. Absolutely unbelievable performance. So yeah, my one is definitely Alan Byrne. Now, Ben, pressure's on because you asked for a chance.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of recency bias for me just over the... Even this season, like, it's just... it's tough. I'd maybe go Jack Moylan Bowles in the cup.
Yes. Nice, yeah, I'm with that. Day.
It's just the memories from it maybe outweigh the performance, but I just thought he was untouchable that day. Well,
that's a fair point. I think trying to weigh it up between, like, best performance, as in, you know, was a man of the match type thing, or memorable performance. Like, and if you're going memorable performances, like, there's been plenty of Luke Byrne ones over the years, just throwing himself in on front of stuff. But for me, it's definitely Alan Byrne. That's the one I think of straight away, 2018. You're going Super Jack. Well, onto Jack, actually, not, he won goal of the season for Lincoln there. It still just kills me. It kills me so much when you go on, you see him, like they had their end of season do, and he's there, and he looks happy. You're going, ah, bastard, didn't want you to be happy over there. Wanted you to come back. Wanted it to go over, and, you know, not one of those lads didn't quite work out for Jack, and now he's back with the Reds. That's what I really want to happen. I'm messing. I'm joking. Before somebody gets on, like, hey, wishing ill on Jack Moylan. We don't wish ill on Jack. Jack listens to the pod every week, so we're happy for you, Jack. True gritted teeth, I am happy for you.
I'm not going to grit my teeth. I am just delighted. I can't even begrudge him because he is such a good bloke. So it's amazing to see how Ellie's doing. And look, we knew he would. Like, he's just, in his time at Chelsea, he just matured so much as a player. And he gave us an awful lot. A lot of great performances and a lot of great goals. So here, long may it continue for him.
And a sound fella on top of all that, which always helps matters. The last player that I won't, look, we could do this every week, name drop players. Like, everyone played well on Friday. Everyone was solid. Matty Smith, though, I obviously interviewed him in the post-match. His role for the goal, we haven't even spoken about the goal yet. John Martin, what a finish. What a finish. Like, that's a difficult one. The amount of times you'll see players shank that or just blowing it over the bar. But Matty Smith's role, his assist, manager spoke about stats. That's one way to get your assist stat up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just he does everything right, doesn't he? Like, it's just he waits and delivers the kind of perfect ball. Again, it's just it's the quality he has, and maybe it hasn't really worked so far this season. He's just been maybe a little bit unlucky with being out of the team for a little bit, but hopefully now he can just kick on. And as you said, it's the stats that he wants, and long may it continue again.
Yeah, and he genuinely seemed delighted after the game. Like, I spoke to him about the position he's playing in. He's like nearly like an extra midfielder rather than one of those winger slash number 10s that we play with. And he just seems really happy to be playing. He said he likes that position because he gets loads of the ball. I love him playing that position as well because I think he kind of gives us a little bit of everything. So long may it continue. The post-match interview with the manager that Darren did was interesting. I know Darren mentioned the Shane Farrell thing, and that has just been put to bed. I think most sane people would have known it's just one of those things that happens in football, and everyone, let's just move on. So good to see the manager address it. And look, in his typical honesty, very, very blunt, which you can only appreciate. He did mention it. Was it Joey O'Brien or Davey Mack? Basically took a vote on who the players thought would win in a boxing match between Duffer and Shane Farrell. Every single player voted for Shane Farrell.
Yeah, I think he said it was a Davey Mack, but
yeah,
raise a few bob.
So, Ben, that raises the question. In a brawl for all style.
Oh my God, here we go.
Boxing tournament. Now we're talking boxing here. So it's not just, you know, Royal Rumble, chat, brew, four stuff. Although the biggest man doesn't always win a Royal Rumble. Should mention on that, the Watsons were not happy they weren't mentioned when we spoke about the Royal Rumble that time. But what I would say is tag teams never win a Royal Rumble. So that's all I'll say on that one. But Ben, let's go. You're answering first on this one. A proper disciplined boxing tournament with the current Shell squad. Who wins it?
Cam. I think I'm going to go with Cam.
You're going to stick with Cam? Why?
Cam's really filled out this year. He looks a lot bigger. I think he'd be a tough one to take out. I think it'd be Cam.
Yeah, fairness. Cam's from up this neck of the woods where I'm living at the moment. A proud Ballymun man. I'd be struggling to bet against him. But I do think somebody that maybe not a dark horse, you'll always go towards the likes of your, you know, Boydie, Paddy Barrett, the kind of bigger fellas. I think John Martin. John Martin has that kind of
performance
where yeah, like that big kind of farmer, you know, just like out lifting bales of hay, you know, punching the big slab of meat when everyone else is in the gym. He gives off those kind of vibes for me. Oh, I would go for a John Martin Cam final. After that, could go either way. I'm not too sure. But on a more serious note, interesting comments from the manager after the game. He mentioned, and I'll put this in quotes, they're back, talking about the squad of players. How important was that week to bounce back? You know, a hard-earned point at home to Rovers, 3 points home to Pats. How important is that week in getting the team back, quote-unquote?
Like, it's a tough week of fixtures. Like, it's never going to come easy. I think 4 points from the six of those is very, very good. Like, I think most people after the performance in Galway probably would have bit your hand off for that. And I think it just shows that he talked about standards as well. And I think it shows the standard that he holds them to. And I think it's important, like, that dip was always coming. I think, like, there comes a point in every season where, look, whether it be fatigue or the run of games or injuries, whatever it is, that dip will come. So maybe it's good to get it at the start and get over it. And as he said, they're back. So yeah, I'm happy to see that they're back. I'm happy to hear him say that. I think it's encouragement, if nothing else. So look, I'm just really looking forward to bouncing Friday.
And if anyone hasn't actually seen or heard the manager's post-match with Darren on Friday, it's worth a listen because he says an awful lot of interesting stuff. A lot of funny stuff, which you'll always get in an interview with Damien Duff, generally mentioning about the players get their post-match grub, obviously, yeah, you know, shepherd's pie, there's usually wraps and stuff like that on the go, all healthy, you know, get the old protein back into your body and load up on the carbs, it all helps you recover. Joey O'Brien arrived with a few chicken fillet rolls just to ease the tension a little bit. So, although I wouldn't fancy taking a chicken fillet roll off Joey O'Brien, I just feel he could do something mischievous. Don't ask me what, but
I don't think he's going to poison our roll, dude.
No, not poison it, but don't know. It's just something. I wouldn't trust Joey O'Brien there. That's for sure. The manager did, though, mention standards, and he had a bit of a, not a rant, but when the manager starts throwing his arms out, he's, for me, that's generally a tell that he's getting into it and he's really starting to unload a little bit. And he mentioned about standards and said, like, he upset the groundsman a couple of weeks ago. He's upset people in the club and he's quite happy to upset everybody. He doesn't really care. And the reason he doesn't care is because it's for the good of the club. It's to get the club back. I personally don't like the phrase back where they belong, but you get the sentiment. He wants the club back at the top level competing. How important is that? Like, that's not a normal attitude or mindset. Well, it could be a normal attitude, but people generally won't admit to it. They'll generally go down the road of, oh, you know, great volunteers and blah, 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 blah. But behind the scenes will be gone. Jeez, we need to get this pitch sorted, or, you know, we need to get a scoreboard. Whereas he's quite happy to come out in public and be like, no, this isn't good enough and we need to do an awful lot better. Like, how refreshing is it? I don't know whether it's extra refreshing because it's our club he's saying it about, but like, it just beats the cookie cutter, like, pre-request lines, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's great to see. I think if you don't hold yourself to a standard and want to improve that standard, what are you doing? Like, it's kind of pointless. If you're just happy to kind of phone it in and say, ah, look, we'll do what we have. No, it's not right. It's a horrible, I think, mentality to have. And it's great that it's the furthest from that. I think, look, a lot of these are, like, we've needed this stuff for a very long time. Like, this is the first time I've seen, and I remember seeing, a working scoreboard in Talca. Like, that's such a simple thing that should be in every football stadium. But it's not. So having that is great. if you want to play a certain style of football, you need a pitch that'll match the standards that you're setting on the pitch. So yeah, they should be brought up. But even down to everything, like, I think we'll be discussing certain aspects of the club at some point, but if even down to us, Doody, if we're not looking to improve what we do, our output, what's the point?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. It's my whole thing, and I stumbled into all this media stuff, and neither of us have any kind of background in it or anything like that, but I think I find myself, I don't know how you feel about it, I find myself in the mindset of, I don't want to make a show of the club. Like, we've been made a show of enough times in the past, you know, and I just don't want to be the person to contribute to anything like that. And I think, like, it's a weird probably thing to say, but the manager kind of exudes this thing of, no, that's not good enough. And it does definitely rub off. It rubs off on everybody, I think, anyway.
Absolutely. I think you just, he sets the standard for everything, and it trickles down, and you should be aspiring to live and go by those standards and improve to those standards. Like, yourself, myself, all of us, we have a massive love for the club. We're fans first and foremost, so we want to do good by it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, as I say, you just don't want to be the Egypt that makes a show of the club. Basically, that's like, and I think if we go about our stuff with that mindset, I think we'll be all right. But the manager, I wouldn't say single-handedly, because it's not fair on the staff, and there is an awful lot of people in the background, but he is dragging this club, like, he's dragged it to the top of the league table. He's dragging it up off the pitch with standards. So long may it continue.
Like, the club just feels different. There's a certain, like, there's an energy, there's a buzz. There's just something there, and it's something special, and it's been building and kind of brewing over the last 18 or so months. Like, and it's just kind of, it's different. There's no words to explain. I can't really put it into words. It's just, there's something about it, and it's great to see.
Especially for those unfortunate people your age that don't actually remember the Reds being really good. Only ever remember us being absolutely crap. So it's good for everyone. Another thing actually needs to be mentioned about Friday night, JJ Lunny, 100 appearances for the Reds. I will still go back to the point, and I made it on the pod, I argued the toss with that fella in Inchicore. Do you remember that?
Yes.
He insisted, JJ Lunny doesn't do anything, only ever plays the ball backwards. No use, you won't get anywhere with JJ Lunny playing midfield for you. Well, where are we now, huh?
I've never seen you get as heated at a game, especially with one of your own fans.
Nah, pardon me.
You just turned to this bloke and said, what are you on about?
You know me, Ben, I'm a pretty relaxed fella. Not much bothers me, but some stuff just really grates on me. But JJ has been, he's just, especially this season, it's like he's grown so much. He's a different type of leader. Again, the manager mentioned
he plays like a senior player in that squad.
He does, yeah, and like that, he got dealt a shocking hand because he had to field the media duties after the Galway game, and he didn't hesitate to say it to me walking over either. He was always stinging me with the bad ones, but he's been excellent this season. He's just been growing and growing. Another one on the long list of players that have just gotten better under the current staff. A really good fella as well. But the manager said about, you know, got him to speak. Didn't get him to speak in the team meeting, receiving his jersey for the 100 games, but got him to speak in the huddle before and said there was the typical JJ, Mr. Cool, the manager calls him, just laid back. And I can picture it in my head, just whereas the likes of a Coyler or Paddy Barrett might raise their voice, give you that steely look, JJ, I think more like kind of a surfer type attitude, real relaxed, just, yeah, let's just go out and do the business. But well done to JJ on 100 games. Wouldn't surprise me if there's 100 more in him, because he's been so consistent and he's just been excellent. Ben, I think it's time for the debut of the Shelburne Mastermind. As I mentioned at the start of the pod, signed jersey up for grabs. You'll come on here. You'll answer 10 questions on your own specialist subject. You'll answer 10 questions on general Shell's knowledge. The highest score at the end of as many people as want to come on. So it may go on for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. We'll be doing a minimum of five because that's the amount of people that have asked to come on so far. So the first of those people, well known to everyone around Talkit, Mr. Aidan Geraghty. I can't call you Aidan. I have to call you Aidan. Aidan, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Grand, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. You're very, very welcome. We just spoke off air there. You were the first person that really put themselves forward. Few half-hearted. Maybe, yeah, I might. So, thanks for being the first. The first one's always the most difficult. So, I appreciate you giving up your time.
No bother at all. Like I was saying to you off air there, I could make an absolute show of myself here, but it's just a bit of crack at the end of the day. We'll see how we get on.
Well, hopefully you do make a show of yourself, Aidan, because that would make for good listening. So, I'd be happy enough with that. look, we explained it last week in the pod. There's 10 questions for your own special subject. There's 10 general knowledge Shell's questions. So far, we've 4 people lined up. If more people dive in, we'll just extend it as long as we can go. The more, the merrier. The prize, of course, is a signed Reds jersey. It'll be a good keepsake. Back in Europe for the first time since 06. So, as well as that, it's a bit of crack, as you mentioned. So, look, we'll see how we go. Are you ready to rock, Aidan? We'll go with your specialist subject first. So, do you want to let us know what that specialist subject is?
I wasn't expecting to lead off with that, but fair enough. So I was just saying to you during the week, we couldn't really think of a certain topic that we was 100% confident on. We settled on the 2012 season, which is probably a bit of an odd one, but... We think the reason we'll be a bit more confident on that than the other seasons is it's probably the last season that I was going to the Reds before I started drinking. So he's probably a bit clearer on it than seasons since then.
You would be surprised the effect that has, because there is a few people that have been like, because you see fellas, the same lads going home and away, and you kind of think, yeah, they'll be good because they were at every game, but just because they're there every game in body doesn't necessarily mean they're there in mind. So,
and I think the years after 2012, the need for drink probably increased as well, so that could have been...
Well, that's very, very fair. Very, very fair. Right, so again, as I explained to you off air, there's a varying degree of difficulty to the questions. I'm sure there'll be one or two people go, will you come on out of that? That's too easy. Could be another couple that people are going, Jesus, no way you could have got that. But... as I say, it's a bit of a laugh. We'll see how we go. And unfortunately for you, Aidan, I'll be able to taper the questions after you. So
yeah, only guinea pig.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't want to say that, but you said it, so it's fine. Right. I'll say it's a point for each correct answer. There's 2 rounds, 10 questions in each round. I'm going to stick a 5-second time limit on you per question. I'd love to go full mastermind, but it's just too many questions to give you 2 minutes and answer as many as you can. So, Aidan Geraghty, are you ready to go?
You're ready to go, yeah.
Okay, who did the first win of the 2012 league campaign come against?
Boss.
Correct. Flying start. Now, see, the juices will be flowing. You'll be full of confidence.
You're being too nice to me there.
Philly Hughes finished the season as the top Reds goal scorer. How many league goals did he score?
11.
Too easy. These are the easy ones. Who knocked the Reds out of the League Cup in 2012?
Do I have to answer that one? Rovers.
Incorrect.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I know that was the Leinster Cup. I know I'm not getting the point for it, but it was Bray, wasn't it?
It was. It was. Yeah. They're the worst ones when you know after.
Yeah.
Who did our largest league defeat come against that season?
Largest league defeat. I want to say it was away to Rovers, the 4-0.
Correct. The second round FAI Cup game went to a replay against Bray. Who scored the winner in that replay?
Oh. This is a complete guess. I remember him scoring. I don't know if it was the winner. I'm going to say Barry Clancy.
Incorrect. It was Philly Gorman. Shell scored 1 OG over that entire league campaign. Who scored it?
Stephen Hurley.
Correct. That's impressive, Aidan. That's a good answer.
Now, we will say it wasn't his fault. It was our current goalkeeper coach's fault.
Correct. Skinner is going to be absolutely delighted to get another mention. I haven't mentioned him for 2 weeks. I washed my hands of all the sticker, of all the Skinner stick, but there we go, Edo. You brought it up, so.
You dropped his name in, I didn't.
Where were we? Shells had a league game expunged against Monaghan, which they won 2-1. Which future Red scored the Monaghan goal that day?
Oh. Ryan Brennan?
Incorrect. Willow McDonough. A very forgettable one.
Yeah.
Who was the second highest league scorer that season?
Fiddy Garman.
Correct. Who beat us in the semis of the Leinster Senior Cup that year?
Rovers.
Yes, you already answered that one early doors. And we'll finish, we'll always finish on a difficult one. Who wore the number 18 squad number that season?
Paul Bourne.
Correct. Impressive, Edo. 8 out of 10. Not too bad at all. Strong, strong start. Say that again?
It was better than we expected.
I was going to say, is there any that you're annoyed you didn't get? I'm sure of that.
The Bray one. Yeah.
The Bray one, yeah.
We rushed that one. We remember the game. If we remember correctly, Adam Hanlon scored against us, who played the following year.
Yeah, there was actually, when you go through that season, there was an awful lot of people had an effect on our season that year that ended up going on to play for us. It's kind of just the same names kept rolling around over and over again. That's 8 out of 10 the first round, Edo. Not too shabby. That's it. Strong, strong start. So now this is where it could all go Pete Tong very quickly. General Reds knowledge.
Let's see how again, it goes.
I've tried to have varying degree of difficulty in these questions. So are you ready to rock?
All right, go ahead.
Where the Shells play their home matches before they permanently moved to Tolka?
Most recently, or where was their previous?
Most recently, yeah. The most recent place before Tolka.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was Milltown.
Incorrect. Harold's Cross.
Sorry.
Again, that's an era question, Edo. So take that with a pinch of salt. Who took the permanent manager's job from Alan Matthews in 2013?
Johnny McDonald.
Correct. Who scored the last European goal for Shells?
It was against Odense. We want to say Joey Endow.
Correct. And that's a good shout. It was against Odense as well in Tolka. Shells versus Rangers in the UEFA Cup was moved to whose home ground for safety reasons?
Tranmere Rovers.
Correct. Against who did Shells have their highest league defeat ever?
Dundalk.
Correct. You know what? Tasha's going to be a source of answer for an awful lot of these questions, and I'm hoping to get them because I think we could really widen the net on the type of questions we can ask. The current incarnation of... Sorry, Ada, go ahead.
Sorry, no, I was just saying he'd be a good one to get. Sorry, go ahead.
He would, he'd be brilliant. Current incarnation of the League of Ireland Premier Division was started in 1985. In what season did Shells win their first league title?
After it became
the Premier League. After this one was set up, yeah.
Yeah, 91-92 season.
Correct. So, of three, these are three separate questions, same type of question. You'll know what I mean when I get going. So, who did we sign the following players from? So, who was the last club they played for before coming to the Reds? Dave Rogers.
Dundee.
Incorrect.
Wasn't Pats. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
It wasn't even, it was Canberra and Holland. That one is a difficult one.
I'm less annoyed now, so that's grand.
Yeah. Derek Prendergast.
Derek Prendergast, Bowes.
Correct. And Ian Ryan.
Oh, that's a good question. Complete guess. I'm going to say UCD.
No, it was Drogheda, funny enough. And now the final question, Edo. Who scored the first league goal of the Damien Duff era?
First league goal of the Damien Duff era. Matt Coyle.
Incorrect. Dan Hawkins.
Drogheda, wasn't it?
Dan Hawkins and Drogheda, yeah. Coyle got the second one and then got a load of chewing gum thrown at him.
Fair enough.
So, have we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 out of 10 in that one, Edo. And you're 8 out of 10 in the first one. That is not a bad take. That is a high, high standard.
I'm a bit annoyed at myself on the Harold's Cross one. When you said, before moving to Tolka, my mind went back to originally moving to Tolka more than the most recent time. We should have got that one.
And that is why that's one of the few questions that I didn't just pluck. I actually thought about that when I was like, yeah, that could catch people out.
Well,
9 out of 10, your special subject, Ado. 8 out of 10, the general knowledge. A very, very strong start. If you think you can knock Ado off his perch, get in touch with us. I put a question box on Instagram every single Tuesday. The normal text number, we will put up at the end of the podcast. Get in touch with any of us, myself, Ben, Darren, anyone Shells related. If you think you know somebody who will be good, who can come on, have a crack and beat Ado's very, very impressive score, do get in touch. Ado, thanks a million for giving up your time.
Not bad at all, Steve. Thanks for having me on. Up the Reds.
17 out of 20. What a start. Ado Garrity, top of the table. What you make of that, Ben?
Look, you want to have people coming on, but if that's your starting point, I'd say some people might be discouraged, but don't. Go for it. But look, incredible start.
Oh, he's laid down the gauntlet. Some of those answers there, I mean, I purposely threw in a couple of questions where I was kind of going, nah, he's not going to get that. You'll be particularly tested in your specialist subject. But some of those ones there that I've asked, I'm going, no chance. He's just not going to get that, and it'll keep the scores down nice and low. I mean, the OG question, Shell's only scored one OG in the 2012 season. And he pops up, didn't even hesitate. Stephen Hurley. Now, Skins, all I can do is apologise. It wasn't me. I didn't bring your name up. Nothing to do with me.
Right, in fairness, it was you.
Right, okay, fair enough. But look, these things happen. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We'll move very, very swiftly on, Ben. Is that all right with you?
It's good with me. We don't need you falling out with anyone else.
Right. Look, we got a good few list of questions in. I actually want to go straight to Jordan O'Reilly. He mentioned how comfortable we were in the game on Friday, and the Conor Cairns have a save to make. He did, and he made a massive save. And for some reason, it wasn't in the highlights package, but the league account put it up today. His save from that free kick, I think it was on 40, 42 minutes in and around there. Like, he picked that out of the top corner. That's going straight in. And if Pat score before half time there, could have a very, very, very different game on our hands. So I feel the need to mention that save, because I say it all the time about keepers. Those small moments in a game, like it's an unbelievable save, but because we were so comfortable, I think it kind of fades into the background a little bit, but that's a game-changing save, no doubt about it. And he's done it time and time again. So we were unbelievably comfortable, but Connor did come up with one amazing save. But Jordan's main point, and I mean, I got hockeyed out with messages about this, was the ticketing situation. And look, it's a difficult one to navigate, because I think a lot of the time people don't have the full story. And look, it's not always fair to, you know, give the full ins and outs of it, but did make a couple of little inquiries, and we did kind of ask the club, you know, what went on, just so we can keep people in the loop. And the club came back with this. We sincerely apologise for the delay in sending out the away ticket link for the game against Dundalk. We had anticipated the link to be live at 7 o'clock, but unfortunately, it was not functional at the agreed-upon time. We promptly contacted Dundalk FC, who addressed the issue, and once the link was operational, we subsequently sent it to our season ticket holders. This resulted in a delay of approximately 20 minutes. We again apologise for the frustration and inconvenience this delay has caused. Taking on board feedback from supporters, the club has begun a review of our away ticket procedure, with a view to making immediate changes to improve this process for supporters, including enhanced engagement with host clubs, the assignment of additional club personnel to assist with ticketing. So, there you go. Basically, the link went live when it shouldn't have, and then the link got shut down, and they never reactivated it in time for the email going out. So, look, there's so much stuff on social media, people having a pop, and look, when you're paying your money, you're looking to buy tickets, you're entitled to have a pop. I suppose my main thing from it would be the delay. There was a bit of a grey area there with, you know, the delay and people kind of been caught in the hop. But there you have it. That's come directly from the club. So so many people got in touch about it. So there you have it. I think the important part of that is, with a view to making immediate changes to improve this process for supporters, including enhanced engagement with host clubs and the assignment of additional club personnel to assist with ticketing. So there is something being done now at this stage. So let's hope by the time the next away game rolls around, we may not fix the problems, but hopefully the process is made easier for people. Among the other questions we got, let me just pull them up here. Sean O'Kelly's good for a question every week. He asked us a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think I asked it. Ben, if you could change one rule in football, what would it be? And I can hear referees shouting at me saying, there are no rules. There's no rules to football. There's laws of the game, and you interpret the laws. So if you want to go down that road, but what change would you make?
I think the substitution rule, that's the three intervals, isn't it?
Yes.
I think you just need an extra one. Like, I know they talk about the pacing of the game and breaking it up, but three intervals is very harsh. I think we were undone by one of those this year where we couldn't make a change at the start of the year. I could be wrong.
There was. That definitely did happen. 100% it did, yeah.
Was it Shane when he hurt the shoulder? Or
yes, like, it was. Yeah, that was the one.
We couldn't make a change there. I think that's just, I don't know if it's just a little bit nitpicky, but that's a bit of a stupid one to me. I understand it's for pacing and whatever, and you don't want so much additional time for changes, and it can kill a game momentum wise, but the three intervals is just a little bit silly.
I'd rather, if like you're allowed to make five subs, you should be allowed to make them whatever way you want, and just time the game properly and add the time on at the end. And I know people will say, oh, but it's killing the momentum. It is, but you're going to get that momentum back. Like, say if it was there, just use Friday as an example. If we made five subs five different times to, you know, kill a bit of momentum off, not that Pat's had any, but just for argument's sake. Like, if the ref goes and adds 8 minutes or whatever on at the end for stoppages and time waste and the amount of subs made, like, 9 times out of 10, that ends up as Pat's for 8 minutes bombarding the Shell's half. So you do get it back. You get that momentum back later on. But yeah, something, the three interval rule, I definitely think some kind of change could be made there. My one would be, and I know this one will bother a lot of people because my dad used to referee, and I don't think he's keen on this one, but if the ball touches your hand or your arm, whatever, like, you'd have to decipher. I know at the moment, I think they use the jersey, the line of your jersey as the guideline. But if the ball hits an arm or a hand, it's a foul. Regardless. Doesn't matter if it's deliberate. Doesn't matter if it's from 2 yards away, from 3 yards away. If the ball hits your hand, it's a foul. End of story. Because it's one way of getting rid of the grey area. Because usually it's the grey area that kills you with handball. Like, oh, it's deliberate. Oh, unnatural position. It's above his head. It's wherever. I just think the most straightforward way to do it is, if it touches a hand, bang, fell. That's the end of it. Don't know whether that's a bit too extreme the other way, but that'd definitely be my one.
Now, well, no, I back that. I think, again, it's just a positive change. I would agree with you there.
It could be a bit extreme, but look, that's what this is all about. Opinions. Kev Hardiman was on asking, when will Harmo be announced as Duffer's replacement? That's Kieran Harmon, of course, who was brought in to give a little G up to the players, I suppose, on the pitch at full time. Manager went on to say, look, it's to just wants to show the togetherness, I suppose, because he obviously made a point that we missed the supporters in Galway, which we definitely did. And it was more, I think, just a sign to show, yeah, look, we're all in this together. I originally thought he was going for the megaphone. And I was up in the gantry with Declan Drake, and Declan was saying to me, oh, what, can you see what's going on down there? No, I haven't a clue, but all I could see was a megaphone and Duffer walking towards the stand. And I was saying, oh, don't get on the megaphone, whatever you do. But, yeah, you never know.
He quickly batted the megaphone away.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He had a megaphone and a flag, and he was like, no. None of them.
Yeah, I thought we were going to see Graeme Souness-esque planting a flag in the middle of the pitch, but he might save that one for Dynamo or something at some stage. You never know.
A man can dream.
Yeah, a man can dream. Ryan Marin was on, what's your favourite away ground? His personal favourite away ground is Drogheda. But Ben, favourite away ground? Well, favourite away ground?
I would have to say I like Sligo. I don't know why.
I like Sligo because I think it's the perfect storm. Generally, when there's not a double weekend, they play on a Saturday, obviously, it's perfect. You can get down early, stay the night. You could go the night before if you wanted to and stay. It's probably hard to look past. Sligo and Drogheda, I think. Drogheda, for obvious reasons, great memories there. It's a great away stand, but the view was horrific. That's in so United bad. Park. If you don't get into the terrace there early, you are bunched. That happened to me in the 2-2 game. I ended up having to go down the far end because I just couldn't see anything. For view, like, it probably has to be Talla, but that's a soulless kip, so no.
Funny enough,
I quite enjoy Dalymount now, just with that stand and everyone's together, close-knit.
Yeah, it's just, it creates such a buzz in the stand because everyone, like, when the goal goes in, you just kind of go flying all over each other, and it's just great.
A lot of people were on as well. We don't look, I remember speaking to Darren at the start of the season about this, where would we start talking about kind of more league-wide topics rather than it just being always shells, would we kind of open it up a little bit? I think at the time we said, yeah, maybe we would cover more league-wide stuff. We haven't really had the chance to be honest, because, you know, we've had the group chat, we've had people sending in their questions. We obviously got to throw in an interview with Pearl, which went really well. So we haven't really had a chance to get into other stuff. A lot of people were on today, though, about Rob Hennessy's red card in the Drogheda and Rovers game last night. Ben, what do we think?
Dudey, I know you love your famous line of, I'm not one for referee bashing, but you have to just look at it and say, that is completely ridiculous. There's no other way you can put it. Like, it's just, how?
Well, I was in your camp, firmly in your camp, right? And then the great Alan Smith pointed out to me that he does actually clip him. Like, if you look closely, he does clip him. Now, what I would say is he clips him. Your man, I think it was Johnny Kenny, takes like another two steps and then flings himself on the floor. That's a problem for me.
Yeah. He's not impacted by the challenge. He's just...
Yeah. Look, Duffer's always talking about dark arts. Absolutely, 100%. Go for it when you can. My bigger issue with it, or with the, you know, the hashtag greatest league in the world community, they all jumped on this appeal. The appeal obviously was rejected today for the red card, so he'll still serve the one game suspension. The decision's kind of upheld. See people giving out about the appeal process. That is too, like, whether anyone wants to admit it or not, there's a bit of debate in that call, because you kind of have to stop it and look at it loads of times to see whether he does actually clip him or not. I think he does clip him like that, whether he should go down or not. Look, that's all up in the air, but like, it is a questionable decision, so you're never going to win an appeal. Like, an appeal is if, like, it was Jack Heaney that clips him. The appeal would come if he went over and showed a straight red to Conor Cain, and it's the wrong person, and it's that black and white. That's the only time you're going to win one of those appeals. No point appealing for decisions. Like,
if somebody else reasonable out there, there's no chance.
Yeah, of course. And I think somebody else appealed a decision early in the season for maybe a tackle. And, you know, that's just not going to happen, because you're hanging your referee out to dry then, because you're blatantly saying, right, you made a complete... Like, I understand if it's mistaken identity and the ref just says, look, I had an absolute nightmare, hold my hands up. Yeah, reverse the decision. Everybody moves on. But this whole thing of everyone reacting to the disciplinary committee and the appeal is just silly, I think. Like, whether you want to admit it or not, and it's easy, everyone wants to bash refs, and Rob Hennessy in particular has come in for a bit of stick the last few weeks. We've been on the end of that as well. Like, it's people wanting to be extra, extra outraged, I think. That'd be my opinion on it. The other bit of refereeing...
If it happens to you, would be annoyed.
Oh, of course, yeah. And that's part of it. Shells go online, or like in that case, draw the fans, go online, run amok. Oh, this is a disgraceful decision, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you're always going to do that when it's your own club, of course, 100%. But whether it's the right decision or not, like having a pop at the appeals thing is just silly, in my opinion. I don't understand the having a go at that. The other refereeing decision over the weekend was obviously an air game, and I think everyone got educated over the weekend, including the manager. The offside that was given, I think it was Will Jarvis, and obviously the indirect free kick took place in air half, so everyone was saying, well, why is he putting up that bleeding flag if like you can't be offside in your own half? You can be offside in your own half. And the manager informed a couple of the players and Duffer after the game that that law changed like 5 years ago. Now, that's a complete new one for me. I hadn't a clue. I thought the foul was given for, like, I thought Jarvis might have said something for appealing against the offside, if you know what I mean. But yeah, it's a new one on me. It's probably the only time it'll ever happen, just because of the way the game is played nowadays. But there you go. Every day is a school day. Every day is a school day. Learn something new every day. What else have we got here? Oh, now this one. Ben, I love this one. But a lot of people don't even want us to fucking answer this question on the pod. But Ben Cleary, who is your most hated ex-Shells player? That comes in from Rob Lenihan.
Oh, dear.
That's a great question.
Gary Deegan.
Ooh. Explain.
I don't know. He's just...
He's a typical one of those. If he plays for you, you love him. If he plays against you, you just think he's the biggest idiot going.
Why do you think he let the club down? Look, there was a lot in that team that didn't do themselves any favours, but I think leading the team, he probably could have done a lot more. And yeah, I think he'd probably be up there for me. Like, I know that's probably a very controversial one, but...
No, I don't. I wouldn't say that's an overly controversial one. I think it's a solid enough one. I have three.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, See, I thought about this.
Duty's on Kane, everyone. Welcome to the newest segment, Duty Kane's the World.
It's a good question. I enjoy this question because everyone will think something differently on this one. Like, some people will go, like, oh, he lets down in this particular game, or like that Gary Deegan was the captain, quote unquote, when we got relegated. So everyone will go in a different direction. I was asked this question before, and I always said Dylan McGlade. Just because he just bothers me. He just really, really bothers me. That was always my answer. Now, I have two different ones now. I've updated it. Oscar Brennan is one.
Oh, yeah, that.
For his carry on and the way he spoke about the club and people within the club and club legends, the way he hammered them just for a few laughs on a fan podcast. Yeah. That really bothered me.
He got a little bit of engagement in his moment.
Exactly, yeah. And I'm pretty sure, well, I certainly haven't seen him in Talca ever since, probably for the best, but he's definitely one. And the other one, this is a more recent one, is Colly McCabe. As Darren would call him, the big windy bastard, who, again, I wouldn't bash... And I wouldn't blame a relegation on somebody in particular, but his save or lack of save against Cork in the COVID season didn't help. But the way he's carried on since, it's not, that mistake isn't the reason why he's on my list. It's more the way he's carried on since, giving it the big one anytime we play in Drogheda. And I know he gets a bit of stick, but like, yeah, you're always going to get a bit of stick. Giving it the whole, sticking his ear, like cupping his hand to his ear, all this type of nonsense. You're going, ah, here, where are you going with all this? He also gave the finger to a child in Talca, which I seen with my own two eyes and couldn't believe it. Remember standing on, he's not after doing that, surely. And Charben, where is he now? Where is he now? Nobody knows.
I would say, dude, to quote yourself, dust.
Yes. A literal child came in and took his spot off him, and then he threw his toys out of pram and left because of it. So there you go. A true mark of the man. Ben, finally, before we wrap up here, Richie Rankins, I have to confess, I forgot to write them down. Usually I write them down so that I don't forget. Do you have your Richie Rankins?
Well, I think Richie Baker, I'm gonna have to give it to Matty Smith. Just purely because I was delighted that he got the assist and he's getting up there. Obviously difficult having basically the year out with injury. So it's just great to see him come back. And you could see, like, in the interview he did, how buzzing he was. Like, he was just delighted.
Yeah, he was. He was extremely happy. As always, Richie Baker is general all-round good bloke, sound fella. Would hold the door open for you if you were walking through. Just sound fella. Richie Winters, on the other hand, type of fella that robs sweets from kids, doesn't flush the toilet after he uses it, that general type of stuff. So my Richie Baker is JJ Lunny.
Yeah, solid.
100 not out for Shells. He's been a great servant to us so far. Still an awful lot more to come from him. Ben, give us a Richie Winters because I need to think.
You're going to hate me for this, but I'm saying referees, duty. You're going to hate me. I know you hate it, but like, I know the manager talks about standards. Like, it's just, look, you say there's you can look at that challenge and there was contact and there is a bit of reasonable doubt there, but and the appeal doesn't go the way you want, but if you can't look at a decision and reflect on it and say, here, maybe I got it wrong, what's the point? I'm not saying he did get it wrong, I'm not saying he thinks he got it wrong, but to me, I don't know, it's all a bit much, and I think there needs to be some kind of accountability and maybe a dialogue there. Like, there's no, maybe if you're told why, there wouldn't be as much outrage. It's just, this is the decision. I think there maybe needs to be a bit more clarity there, a little bit more maturity, because I just, from the outside looking in, and you even see it, like when I'm on the pitch getting stuff, like video wise, there just doesn't really seem to be any talking or approaching an official. It's just the dialogue isn't there. So I think that needs to improve. Again, duty, I know controversial, you don't like bashing officials, but I think it needs to be said.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I accept that. My Richie Winters this week, and I know the higher powers, Ben, have told us that we need to mention specific people if we're going to, like, you know, you can't, like, give it to the inanimate carbon rod, you know, this type of stuff. But whoever started the rumour that Harry Wood was in Talca on Friday night, I don't know who you are, but you should be given a lifetime ban. Because I certainly didn't see Harry Wood in Talca. And I'm quite sure, because we're kind of hanging around the tunnel before and after the game, we would have seen him, I'm sure, because he would have at least popped his head in to see the Watsons. That would have been the least you would have got. Could be wrong, maybe he was there, but I'm 95% sure that he wasn't. How, why people come up with these mad rumours, I just don't know. Unless there was a long-haired Yorkshire man strutting around the riverside that might have looked a little bit like Harry Wood, maybe, but no. Don't be getting people's hopes up. Do not get people's hopes up. As much as I'd love to see Harry Wood back. Although his contract's up. His contract is expiring in the summer, I believe. So you never know. Stranger things might have happened.
Ask the Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny, whoever, Harry Wood, come back.
quick little academy update. Men's under-20s team were beaten 4-2 away to Finn Harps. That's a long, long, long journey to do after a defeat. And men's under-17 side got a win at home against Bray. That finished 6-3. Women's under-17s didn't play, and our women's under-19s team drew 1-1 in a Dublin derby away to Bowes. So solid, bit of a mixed bag, but solid enough results. As I always say, FAI Connect is the best place to go. If you're at a loose end on a Saturday or a Sunday, check out FAI Connect. You can get up, have a look. The home games are up in the AOL, so it's a kind of a one-stop shop on a Saturday and a Sunday. There'll generally be something Reds-related going on while you're up there. Fixtures, of course, are away to Dundalk this Friday. We haven't even talked about it. Noel King is obviously the manager. So much to talk about, but we're past the hour, so we'll just review it in more detail next week. And Owen Wearing side are at home in a Dublin derby against Bowes. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. Season ticket gets you in. If not, you can buy your ticket at the gate. And if you can't be there, watch it live on LOI TV. Ben, Shinne, that's it. Thank you very much for giving up your evening.
No problem. Always happy to be here.
Always, as always. And massive thanks to Edo. 17 out of 20. That is going to take some beating. But until next week when somebody else tries, Ben, thank you very much. Up the Reds.
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.